So we had seen the Gemara wraps from Rabban Hanan Beis Lanvav Amud Aleph, the first of the sugyas, the first in a series of sugyas that focus ostensibly on a particular food. This Gemara focuses on Shemen Zayis. As you see, just as your eyes trail down the rest of Lanvav Amud Aleph, you see that's a style that recurs here. The next piece of Gemara opens with Kimcha Dechiti, what's the status of wheat flour? And the Gemara later, how about Korah? A particular, maybe hearts of palm or something like that. And the Gemara later on is going to open sugyas, the bottom of Lamed Vav Mem Beis, Chavitz Kedera or Daisa, particular type of, we would call mezonos foods, and so on and so forth. And I say ostensibly because as we've already seen here, the Gemara officially is just discussing what's the bracha on olive oil, but that opened up a very, very rich discussion, really a rich series of discussions. A lot of different threads going, a lot of different fascinating ways. And the second half of the Gemara, we had seen, took us through trying to figure out under what circumstances would the bracha on Shemen Zayis be practically implementable, as opposed to just like a theoretical, hypothetical, if you would make a bracha, it would be ha'ez, because Gemara pointed out, you drink it straight, says Zuki Mazik. You eat it with pas, it's tuffle to the pas. You eat with a nigron, tuffle to the nigron. So the guard worked out, on the top of Vav and Aleph, that Hachamayaskini, you know when it's not tuffle to the nigron, when it is lirafua. That's what the Gemara appears to say. When it's lirafua, when you're happy, the Gemara says, look, we have a brisa. The brisa is really not a Hilchas Brachas brisa. The Braisa is really focused more on the Hilchas Shabbos aspect. Zer Drabanan, you cannot take refuah on Shabbos unless you meet certain criteria. One of which is, if it's Machal Briyim, then it's Mutter. So that's how the Braisa presented to directly gargle with oil, Macholkas Rashi and Tosfos on the details of Lo Ya'arenu, but to directly take oil is on Shabbos is a violation of refuah for Shabbos. But the solution is you can have oil in the anigron. Have anigron with oil, even if your kavana is lirafua, but apparently that's something that people do from purely taste perspective as well. Some people may want to have a richer, creamier vegetable broth, so they'll add some olive oil. Okay? So that's relevant to Hilchas Shabbos, and our Gemara is pointing out it's also relevant for Hilchas Brachos. It means that at times, given that, at times you would add a lot of oil in order to get therapeutic benefit from your oily broth, your creamed broth. So as a result, it's possible that you can have a situation where although it's oil mixed in a nigron, the oil is the ikar, and therefore you make a bracha on the oil. That's the hechatimtza. That's where you're actually going to be practical to make the ha'etz on olive oil. In principle, olive oil is always ha'etz, but most of the time when I ingest olive oil, it's not going to be ha'etz. But here you have this scenario where you're having the oil in the anigron and the oil is the ikar. Ah, so then what bracha do you make on that oily anigron? Ha'etz. So then the Gemara ends with the following. We'll come back. The Gemara raised a lot about Iker and Tafel that we want to come back to. The Gemara earlier had raised a lot about Nishtana, which is coming up. There are four major directions we're going to go beyond Refuah over the course of the next couple of months in the first half of Ketzim of Archen. The first is Iker and Tafel, which we'll get to soon. And then beyond that, we want to talk about foods are nishtana. That's one major theme in the opening, the first half of Ketz Nevarach, which already begins here, and it comes up again, of course, in the parak several times. There's the issue of different parts of a plant, and finally there's the issue of mezonos foods. But here, before we get to those larger issues, Iker and Tafel, nishtana, chelke, pri, and machale dagan, right here the Gemara talks about the question of refuah. Versus pshita. Okay. So then isn't this obvious? Some of the Mefarshim point out, I mean, it's not obvious that olive oil is ha'etz, but it sounds like it's not just a chiddush that it's ha'etz as opposed to shahaka like other fruit juices, but it's a chiddush that you would make a bracha on it at all. And the why is that such a chiddush? So the Gemara explains, you know why the Amoraim saw a chiddush in the fact that you ever make a bracha on oil? It's ma'od the same akevin to the refuah kamechav and the liver chaleklal. Whenever it's not lirafua, so there's no, the oil is a tafel or the oil is mazik. When it is lirafua, so then the oil is the ikker, but I would have thought maybe in that case you also don't make a ha'etz. Why? Because it's rafua. Maybe you'll make a bracha on medication. You're taking the oil as medication. You make a bracha on medication. So that's what the Gemara says. The Amoraim thought it was a chiddush, not only that if you can ever get oil to be the item of bracha, the bracha sa'eitz, but they thought it was even a chiddush that there is a case where you make a bracha on oil, because I would have thought that in this case of refuah we came up with, also should knock it out, not because azuki mazik, not because it's a tafel, but because you'll make brachas on refuah. Kamashmalan. So there's a double chiddush in the memra that olive oil is a'etz, not only that the bracha is a'etz as opposed to shahakol, but the other chiddush is, you do make a bracha on olive oil even though it's l'refuah. So taka, why is that true? We didn't explain the svar of the havlina, but we do explain the svar of the maskana. Often the Gemara will do the reverse. Often the Gemara will say, I would have thought, the din should be this because they explain why. Havmina kamashmalan. Sometimes the Gemara says, kamashmalan doesn't explain the svar. Here the Gemara does explain the svar. Explains the maskana more than the havmina. I would have thought there's no bracha and refuah because of refuah, and therefore what? Kamashmalan, you do make a bracha. Why? Kevin de isle hana mine boy baruche. You are having hana from it, and therefore it requires a bracha. Rashi says, the isle hana mine levad harefuah yeshal hana asachila. Aside from the fact that it has therapeutic benefit, you all also are enjoying the eating experience. You're enjoying the inexperience. Again, you're not enjoying the inexperience if you're taking the oil straight. But we're not talking about taking the oil straight. Taking the oil straight is a negative. It's a zuki mazik. But when you have it with a negron, it's kishmak. Usually having a negron, it's kishmak, but the ikar is yanigron. Whatever the bracha is on a negron, hadam or shako. But here, you have with a negron, the oil is kishmak, and the oil is the ikar because it's the refuah. So since you're having a hana aside from the refuah, you do make a bracha, and that bracha is ha'etz. Yeah.
In the Gemara of Peshitta, if that's one that you make a bracha at all, if you make a bracha at all, if you crush it, that it's bracha ha'etz. How does it being bracha ha'etz itself?
The Peshitta, when the Gemara says Peshitta, so some of the Farshim point out, even the Bach says it on the side of the Torah, some of the Farshim point out, the Gemara's Kasha Peshitta is not Peshitta that's ha'etz. Correct. The pshita can't be pshita eitz, because then you're correct. Then the number, it's not clear why it's so pashit. That's actually a chiddush. Literally, it's a chiddush. It's yotzei min hakal. Usually, fruit juices are shahako. So it's actually quite a chiddush that's eitz. And the Gemara had addressed earlier because it's, and the Gemara is going to talk about more later. We get to other fruit juices. And you're right, not only does the kasha pshita is not much of a kasha if we're focused on the fact that it's eitz, the teretz is also not much of a teretz. Like, this doesn't address it. No, so the pshita is pshita that you should make a bracha. In other words, and that's what I was saying before, since I'm unfortunately pointed out, if you read the language, the end of the Gemara understood from the language of Shmuel and Yochanan that they were trying to make two points. They thought it was interesting that the bracha is ha'etz, and they also thought it was interesting and non-trivial that you do make a bracha on it. So, isn't that obvious? No. That's what I'm saying. There's a double chiddush here. Not only that the bracha is ha'etz, but chiddush number one, apparently a non-trivial chiddush, that there is a case where you make a bracha on Shemen Zayis. There's never a case where you make a bracha on aluminum foil. You never make a bracha on aluminum foil. If for some reason or other one is ingesting aluminum foil, number one, either called poison control or a psychiatrist or both, depending on the scenario. That's not a joke. That is a recognized form of mental illness. I think it's called pica. when people regularly eat non-food items. That's actually obviously a serious concern. There's no scenario where even if we're one for some reason or another to ingest aluminum foil, you never make a bracha on aluminum foil. So apparently it's a shtickle chiddush. You do make a bracha on olive oil. Why? The answer is because there are four cases. We already explained why the first three cases you don't make a bracha on the olive oil. Either zuki mazik or stuffle to the bread, stuffle on the negron. And even the fourth case, we could have checkmated. Because then the fourth case also no bracha. Why? Refuah. Kamash Malan, go and say, oh, Taka, that's... So there are two chidushim in the Bar Pira Eitz of Shem and Zayis. Number one, Eitz is supposed to Shahakal, and chidush number two is that you do make a bracha on medicine because you're having hana from it. And that Tosas follows up. Tosas Dibamasul Keva. In the first Tosas, I don't think we had dealt with extensively, we had referenced it last week. First Tosas argued with Rashi in terms of how exactly you translate Yar Enu. Have to do with the gargling or not. But take a look at the second Tosas. Kevin Tisla had nominated Boy Beruchi. Near an Advarm. Tosas, oh, now they learn this Gemara. I have a Chiddush Halacha. What's my Chiddush? Dim Adam shows Mashkin. And the side of Mesaras HaShas points out that the Marsha adds a word here. Im Adam shows Mashkin Lirifua. Im Hamashkin Ram Lishtal. You're drinking medicine. So you're drinking some therapeutic medicinal liquid. If it tastes horrible, if this medicine is banana flavored, quote unquote, it's terrible. So then, no bracha. Let's say hanamine. No bracha. No hana. Lo bai bruche. No bracha. Yisli hanamine. If you do have hana, below her refuah, that refuah bai bruche. So if there's no, if it tastes bad, no bracha. If it tastes good, then there is a bracha. If you don't have ana, then you make a bracha. If you do have ana, you do make a bracha. So you look at this tesis, and what strikes you about this? What strikes you about this tesis? Huh? No chiddush, right? That's what the Gemara said. Of course, the Gemara said it's true. But what's Tosas' point? It seems like he's just reiterating what the Gemara already said. So I don't need Tosas does it. Tosas' job is not just to copy over the Gemara. Where's the Chiddush? Without the Marsha's adding the word, then Tosas is really very difficult to understand. B'chal. And it sounds like they're not talking about refuah. Okay, so once you see refuah, so I understand. But I did. That's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, refuah, you make a bracha because you have enough. There's no hana, there's no bracha. So okay, it could be he's pointing out a bad tasting medicine. Okay. They too apparently had good tasting medicines and bad tasting medicines. I don't know if the Balatosis' children argued over whether the red strawberry flavor or grape flavor is better or worse. Okay, but they were aware of the fact there were some medicinal liquids that tasted good, some medicinal liquid tasted bad, but still, where were they driving at? So where they're really driving at, Lechara, you see, once you turn to one of the closing sugyas, almost the penultimate sugya of the parak, right, the second to last piece of Gemara, rooted in the end of the last Mishnah in the parak. Mem Dal Amud Aleph, the beginning of the Mishnah is fascinating. Also, it's not our focus right now. It sounds like a three-way machlokes harishonim. When do you say a full birkas hamazon? Interesting. Not for now, but it sounds like the Chachamim say you only bench on bread, on Ashivas Aminim, you say Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh, Ala Michya, Ala Eitz, while Ram Gamliel seems to say you say a full three brachas, a full Birkas HaMazon on all Shivas Aminim, not just bread. And then Rabbi Akiva sounds like he says you can make a Birkas HaMazon whatever you're eating for supper, which is shocking. Okay, but not for now. Not for now. When we get in Bikiyas, at least, to Shalosh HaShachlu, which focuses on Birkas HaMazon, you have to keep in mind the closing Mishnah of Ketzin Aruch, and says something very fascinating about Birkas HaMazon. And then you have the end of the Mishnah. Shows the mayim l'tzmo. Shows the mayim as a fellow drinking water because it's thirsty. So what do you say? So Mishnah says, you say, Bar Mivarech shakol nihyeh bidvaro, or, the Rav Lachem pointed out yesterday, there is a machlok with HaPosuk, the nihyeh or nihyah, whether it's present tense or past tense, the various ways of understanding what's driving that machalokas, but there's no nakudas And the Gemara, so that's why it's a machlokes aposkim. Shin nun beis. You make a shahakal. Leave it at that. You make a shahakal. Reb Tarfon says you make a borei nefashos rabos vechesronan. Wow. And Tosis points out, I don't want to focus on Reb Tarfon right now. That's the last piece of Gemara in the Perek. Tosis points out that Tosis Memhei, the last Tosis in the Perek, points out that it sounds like Reb Tarfon held that you say borei nefashos as a bracha rishona, rather than making it weird. The Mishnah already mentioned earlier on Daf Mem on the days that you make a shahako a davar she'en gedulam in ha'aretz. Mem on the days said the Gemara had a brisa that expanded, gave examples, milk and eggs and cheese and meat, you make a shahako. Okay, but what's the brach on water? Well, obviously also not gedulam in ha'aretz. So there, Tanakama says also shahako. Tarfon says water is somehow unique. Where did you get a bar nefashas? We don't say bar nefashas, obviously, as a bracha rishona. We do say as a bracha achrona, based on the Gemara. Okay, but that's not our focus right now. We're not focusing on Reb Tarfon, fascinating though it is. For now, we're focusing on Tanakama. Shosamayim litzmo, you make a shahako. So the Gemara wants to know, well, lapuke mai. Bottom line, literally, the bottom line of Dalam is lapuke mai, as opposed to what? We did not say ha'ochel. We had all the various cases of the different foods on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph and Mem Amud Beis. The Mishnayis mentioned when you make a ha'etz, when you make a hadama, when you make a bar pri hagafen, a hamotzi, a shaka. We didn't say ha'ochel l'ra'avono. You're eating it because you're hungry. You said eat. Yeah, we're talking about the who. Who ochel. Okay, but we never mentioned why you're eating it. All of a sudden, Hashos Amayim Litzmo. Apuke Mai. So Gemara says, that is a very significant term. That's as opposed to some other scenario of drinking water where you would not make a shahaka. Amar Vidi Baravin, Apuke L'man De Chanakte Umtsa. Umtsa, a piece of meat, is choking him. So presumably he's drinking water to wash it down. Again, if you're actually choking, one's airway is constricted, I think the contemporary suggestion would not be to drink water, but instead to get someone to administer Heimlich, or else to self-administer Heimlich over the back of a chair. Okay, chanakte might not mean literally choking, it may just mean that's stuck in your throat. Okay, we'll keep our eyes open for that. But a kitzer, you're drinking the water just to clear your throat, in whatever sense we mean clear your throat, so then you don't make a shahako. But if you're thirsty, so then you do make a shahako. Okay. So take a look at Tesis. Take a look at the top Tesis. Yeah, question.
What if you're just drinking the water just because you want to stay hydrated?
Oh, great question. So Yehuda says, well, you gave me two scenarios. Litzma'o, because you're thirsty, or chanakti umtsa, because you have something stuck in your throat. So Yehuda is saying, I can think of a third case. And let me translate that. We heard over the last 27 hours, we heard two different Abayim from various Yerushalayim Yeshivas speak about the relationship between Lamdashi Yisodos and practical Nafkaminas. Each had his own way of formulating and addressing that relationship. It is certainly often the case that over time, over the generations, Tamechach have become increasingly verbal and explicit in formulating abstract concepts as opposed to speaking in cases. You see that movement from Mishnayos to Gemara. You see that movement from Gemara to Rishonim. You see that movement from Rishonim to Achronim, and recent Achronim in particular. So sometimes, even let's say among Achronim, Tamid Reb Chaim might call prati chakira in abstract terminology. Reb Chaim would speak about that same kivager, would speak the same shaila in terms of a particular case. Okay, so you're giving a case, which is a very strong point. There's more than two reasons more than two possible motivations to drink water. It could be other motivations other than thirst on the one hand, or something meat stuck in your throat on the other hand. Another way, so how would we deal with the third case? Like, I'm not thirsty, I want to stay hydrated. And another way of thinking of abstracting and generalizing what you're saying is you need to be magdir. What does letzmo mean? Or what does chanak de umtza mean? I mean, those are two cases. Between those two cases, there are examples of categories. So your right point is Yehuda's point that in just in learning the Gemara is clearly implying that there is a way to categorize drinking water into two groups. And what is that? What's that gather? How do you? Well, what's the variable? Good question. Yeah.
Thinking about the water also, could it be that there's a historic element in terms of preferred beverages? Because like fermented things like wine or juices are safer. So you drink water when you're choking or very thirsty.
Oh.
It's not like the beverage of choice.
So that's a very good point. Yitzi was raised that sort of during Seder also. Yeah, I know I've mentioned in the past the reason why, probably the reason why B'tkufas Chazal, they drank a lot of low-level alcohol was at least in part because it was safer way to hydrate, just from a bacterial infection standpoint, before modern water technology. Adding that, spiking your water with a little bit of wine would make it safe. It's a health net gain, whatever the health consequences are of drinking alcohol, but if the alternative is dysentery and typhoid, so it's probably a net gain. And again, the way they drank wine, the Gemara says, the way they drank wine, it was mostly water. The Gemara says they drank their wine mazug, which was it wasn't a uniquely Jewish thing. The non-Jewish time also, Greco-Roman wine was cut, I think is the term, was diluted with water. The Gemara says that the preferred recipe was one part wine to three parts water. It's mostly water with a little bit of wine added. Maybe it adds flavor, and it probably also adds safety. So that's an interesting point, right? Pure water was not so pure. And pure straight water without anything else added often would have microorganisms in it. Yeah, so do we have to think about that also? To what extent that may inform trying to figure out what categories Chazal are thinking about? Yeah, David. So you got to find out. We know that boiling water makes it safer. Was that known 1,700 years ago? I'm not sure. But that is, you can explore that. They know Starim. Wikipedia is a good way to start. Technical issues, Wikipedia is often a great way to start. When it's humanities issues, Wikipedia sometimes is a little more scattershot in terms of the quality. But the more technical you are, if you need technical chemistry information, Wikipedia is great. So even the history of technology often, you can find that. Yeah.
At what point, if they're diluting it, can it only become a Geffen foil?
At what point is it so diluted it's no longer a Geffen? I don't want to get into that. That's the way the Gemara does say that the 1-6 ratio is the border between Yain and Mayim, which has a lot of implications, but not for now. But interesting question. Yeah.
Another thing we have to define is what is Hanok?
Oh, Gevaldik. So Moshe's pointing out, and let's get back to Tosfos. Yeah, Moshe's pointing out that if you start to put the two Gemaras together, the Gemaras at the beginning of the paragraph are talking about Hana. So maybe the difference between Lutzma'o and Chanak de Umtza has to do with Hana. And in fact, who suggests that? Rabbeinu Yonah, good. And even before Rabbeinu Yonah, Tosfos says, Chanakti umtza. Because another angle here is how about the Gemara makes a diak in the Mishnah. Oh, let's smo'o as opposed to drinking water for some other reason. There's a different diak, a different axis along which you can, different dimension along which you can make a diak, which is mayim as opposed to all the other things where we never mentioned let's smo'o. The dafka mayim shein lohana. This is all dafka within mayim. How about if I have a piece of bread to loosen my throat? Not sure if that would work. But I have a piece of bread just to sort of loosen my throat. Something stuck, so I'll eat something. I don't have any water. So I have some hot oatmeal. Just made fresh oatmeal. So I'll eat some oatmeal to loosen the thing stuck in my throat. So you also say, look, chanak de umtza. Or I have another drink. So Tosa says, "Dafka mayim she'en lo nakiim lishtos mayim letzmo." It's only by water where the only hana'a is thirst. Hana de chanak de umtza ain't ze nechshav hana. There are two possible hanalas you have from water. Thirst, quenching your thirst, and clearing your throat, and that's not called hana. That should sound familiar, because we just saw that Lamed Vav, where we said there's the hana of the oil, and then there's the hana of refuah, which is not the same as hana. And then Tosus goes on to explicitly make that parallel. Shar mashkim shel olam aguf nenemen becholin mevarech afilu chanaktilim. So you have some other drink to clear your throat. Then you do make a bracha, even though it is lachanakti umtza. That's consistent again with Tosfos doesn't point that beferish, but the implication is that's why the Mishnah only said to show some mayim litzmo. But any all other items in the early Mishnahs never said litzmo. Why? Because it doesn't have to be litzmo. If I drink tea, maybe if I drink orange juice to clear my throat, I do make a shahakal. How do you know that? It's a kinyan al argim or sugya. By the oil, you do make a eitz, even though it's for refuah. The Tosfos is saying there's a refuah and chanakte umtza are parallel. And both cases said that's a hana, that's not a hana. So I want to be sensitive to time. So let's now for just I'm glad to stick around after we wrap up for questions. But now let's sort of wrap up where we're at. So Tosfos is definitely. If you're reading Tosfos sensitively, a lot just happened. He pointed out a lot in terms of the Gemara, like we just pointed out. The diak litzmo, then the unspoken diak of mayim. And you guys already pointed out in the Gemara, the magdir, litzmo versus chanakti umtza. So Tosfos is beginning to do that by saying, well, this parallels the sugya lamed vav that we just saw of the hana of shemen versus the non-hana of refuah. In both cases, the real hana calls for bracha, but the non-hana, whatever that means, doesn't call for bracha, chanakti umsa or refuah. We need to be magdir, obviously, this is hana, that's not a hana. And the reisha definitely needs understanding. We haven't yet read the Sefer of Tosfos, Rav Amram Gaon, is going to need to figure out what exactly Tosfos. We need to figure out how all the lines hang together in the Sefer of Tosfos. And we also need to figure out, besides understanding the ratio of Tosfos more, understanding the Sefer of Tosfos more, number three, is there a relationship between the first half of Tosfos and the second half of Tosfos? The way our Tosfos reads is just a series of points. This sugya actually is a fantastic opportunity, among other things, to begin to be introduced to how different sets of Tosfos and relate to each other. We will pick up Belinetta with all of that tomorrow.